I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromney. He's Ski at TSB Ski. Post at one of us if you're still on X, as I try to...
Just say Twitter. Stop doing the X.
Okay.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not happening. Fetch.
I don't even fucking use the thing. I'm just trying to tell people.
Unless it's gonna give it to you is following X, then don't say X.
Then don't say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tweet at one of us on Twitter if you still follow on Twitter. We're also on Threads for some reason. Still posting memes on Instagram.
I heard Threads is back.
It's back. It's got its little 3-day run.
I heard Threads is back.
Oh, cool.
Yep, I heard it's back.
Cool. Well,
I was never on, so I can't confirm nor deny, but sources close to me have told me that Threads is back.
Good. And we were early adopters, the Sports Brewery podcast on Instagram and Threads, because you can't have Threads without Instagram. So we're posting the dankest memes. And if you ever miss our show, you can find it there too, because I post them there. So it's a thing. Also on YouTube, I'm posting the videos from our Twitch streams on there. Just search for the Sports Brewery there. And twitch.tv/abrog87 if you want to watch us every Wednesday or Thursday. Get in the chat. Do the thing. We have 4 people in there right now. We love every single one of you. Maybe not every single one of you, but you in the chat right now, try to figure out who I'm talking about. And talk amongst yourselves. Where should we start?
Nope. I have a question.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Theo Vaughn, and why am I supposed to know who he is?
Is he the comedian?
He's a comedian podcaster.
Yeah.
I got that. But
is he trending for something right now?
Yeah, what's going on?
I've been seeing him for the last couple of weeks online, and I don't know. Clearly, he's immensely popular. I just don't know how I missed the boat. Like, what? What is his, not gimmick, but...
His shtick?
Yeah, what's his shtick?
He's like kind of a rednecky boy from like Louisiana who just says kind of pretty outlandish shit at times.
His thing is he tells really good stories. I'm not like a fan of his podcast or anything like that, but from what I know about him, that's sort of his thing, is he tells really long, funny, in-depth stories, and that's why people are into him. And he has famous people on with him too. So
was he like an established stand-up guy before he adopted podcast?
I think he was on like Road Rules or Real World. It was one of those shows. I think that's where he started.
Yeah, Hucklebenny just said that in the chat. He was on Road Rules.
Oh my god!
Yeah, that's a throwback, man.
And I think he might be. I think he might be in the like Rogan, Segura, Kreischer sphere of podcast, like Bobby Lee, that kind of
yes.
Well, I was kind of wondering if he was in the Joe Rogan sphere.
I think more Kreischer than Rogan. But they're all friends, basically. Yeah. By the way, like Real World Road Rules Challenge was like the peak of television.
Oh, that's when society was at its best.
Has there been anything better? Yeah, it's all been downhill since.
Other than live sports, I can't think of a single show better than Road Rules versus Real World. Like, there's just nothing better.
It was the era of Road Rules, Real World, and Rock and Jock, and it's like, what else do we need? Like, MTV provided us with everything.
I mean, they just throw on a guy from Boston, you know, and he'd be a real dick. Yes. Like, we got 4 seasons out of this guy.
This asshole uses his fingers to eat peanut butter.
Oh, it's great.
He was the biggest villain in our country at the time. And we were in the Gulf War.
what's so funny about like the Real World stuff and MTV in general is people are like, oh, do you remember when MTV played music videos? And like, yeah, I do. I 100% remember like Hype Williams making 47 minute long music videos, which was ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah.
Absurd. Puff Daddy, I didn't need to watch it come down from a helicopter for 5 minutes. It was dumb.
The Busta Rhymes videos were fire. I think we can all agree on that.
I can agree with that. I can agree.
Yeah.
I can't dispute. Shout out, rest in peace, Magoo, by the way, because you know we're big in the Virginia hip hop scene.
Oh yeah,
you know, as you can tell by our pigmentations. We're shout out to Hampton, Newport News, Norfolk.
Oh, speak
VA Beach. Let's go, baby.
Speaking of lack of
Allen Iverson, Ronald Curry.
Okay. Speaking of lack of pigmentation, our movie for this Sunday is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
So if you
want to watch a movie this week and hear us talk about it on Sunday, it is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It is on Netflix. So do that. Sorry.
Oh, but I was just gonna say, like, I remember MTV more as the starting point for like reality TV. Like that's my input. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I totally remember TRL Carson Daly. He would just go with their black fingernails and go, "Hey, it's Britney, rad," and then that was it. It was great.
That guy had the best job in the world, man.
Sway and tech. I mean, just amazing. But I hear MTV and reality TV is what comes to my head. That's my main point.
I think adult animation as well.
What, Eon Flux?
And, you know,
Beavis and Butthead.
Daria, Beavis and Butthead. That was kind of the jumping off point for it. They'll say, "Oh, The Simpsons," but no, that. Eon Flux, Daria, Beavis and Butthead.
Like anyone was actually watching Eon Flux, by the way.
I just wanted to see the fly get caught in the eyelashes,
and I was like, "I'm done tonight." It was a good weekend.
See you Monday. That's all I need to see for the rest of the day. Thank you very much. That is disturbing. I absolutely watched it, though. I was like, what the fuck is this on my TV right now? Because that was like the first introduction to like anime for a lot of us was MTV.
Oh. What was that called?
Liquid Television or something?
Liquid TV.
Right. Yeah, man.
And like, I know we've done this bit before, but cause we're kind of on it. Beavis and Butthead does not age well. It's not great.
Nah. And they
Daria. Made... Daria, though.
Get out of here.
Super relatable. Super relatable. Everyone's depressed. No one wants to go to school. Everyone wants to die. I mean, tell me.
I mean, come on.
That's more relatable than Frog Baseball and Gwar.
Slayer.
I mean, Gwar is pretty relatable to me. You
know. Yeah, speak for yourself. did you watch any of the... Because Mike Judge brought back Beavis and Butthead, made a bunch of new episodes. I watched one of them, and I was like, it's kind of the same, by the way. Because if you watch like any of the old stuff, too, it's not entertaining.
It made your parents mad. That's why you watched it.
It was because we were teenagers, man. That's it. Yeah.
They didn't have a true plot in the TV. The movie at least had a plot. You could actually, you know,
The movie did have a plot. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Which for the time was a very big deal.
Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Mm, yeah. Roller Coaster of Love, baby.
Yep.
Which I think is a cover, but whatever.
Yeah. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
How do we start talking about this?
I don't know. Sports!
Sports! Sports!
Sports!
Bo Nix billboards.
Can we not
with the bodacious? Like, who the fuck? In the Oregon Athletic Department comes up with this bullshit, man? Like, national brand, right? We've had national brand like shoved down our throats for the last decade. Be better than bodacious.
Well, I will say there is a Ninja Turtles movie out. There's a Ninja Turtles movie out right now. Right. Maybe Bodacious is making a comeback, and we just don't know yet.
Is Tubular coming back as well?
Well, I mean, do we have a player named Tube? Cowabunga. You know, or Euler? We'll never find out.
Cowabunga? They can do better.
Oh, God.
It's all bad, man. It's cool that he has a billboard, I guess, in some random street in New York. Like, who the hell knows?
What I did like was watching New York Ducks argue over the description of the location. They're like, "That is not Midtown Manhattan. That is South Central Western Manhattan. And if we said it was on Skillet Street, everyone would be more clear."
No, we wouldn't. Actually, I think you'll find. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, don't you know that's the Jim Jam district right there?
I know, right? I mean, yeah. And can you believe it? They took an old steam plant and turned it into a restaurant. How would you? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Only in New York, baby. Only in New York.
Brooklyn, baby. Nutian says, just do Bono's and throw on a big Nike swoosh.
I mean, it's right there on a tee for you.
It should have been like both throws, right? Because I know they probably can't do Bono's.
No,
right?
They can't. They own that. That's Nike.
Well, I know they own it, but they don't want to open that. I can see why they didn't do it. But Bodacious was just weird because he's like not. I like Bo Nix. The Bo Nix redemption story is very cool.
On board.
But like he's not Bodacious.
No,
like he's a humble king.
He's boring. Like, he's really boring.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yes,
Mariota was boring too. And if they had done a Bodacious
Herbert also
thing,
very boring. Yeah.
Like I'm.
Herbert's
so...
got some flair now. Is in the NFL.
Yeah,
he
grew his hair out, and we're calling that flair.
He goes,
Marcus might have regressed once he got in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, oh boy, we don't need to talk about Marcus.
Yeah, watch the Netflix show, and then also tonight's game.
But I'm so mad forever that in 2000 and what was it, 15. Yeah, first game 2015, that Eastern Washington guy took the cheap shot on Vernon Adams because we had the perfect quarterback who just was arrogant and had flair and whatever. And every other quarterback before and after who's been very good, not saying they're not good. It's just been kind of, I'm a great family man and I'm boring.
Is it just him and Masoli kind of the two outgoing quarterbacks in the last 20 years?
And even Masoli was just overshadowed by some of his teammates, like media wise, you know.
Right.
But
Vernon Adams is probably my favorite quarterback in the last 20 years.
Yeah. He was my favorite to watch. We've done this before. Like, there's no one here is going to say he was better than Mariota.
Of course.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
He was way more fun to watch.
Not even close.
Because he would just throw shit up and you'd be like, wow, that's a weird throw. Okay, 47 yards.
Yeah.
Like to Dwayne Stanford. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the game winner against Arizona State's one of the coolest plays ever. And nobody throws that ball other than Vernon Adams. And
off the back foot, jumping, off balance. Yes.
Incredible. Yeah. And two of his teammates could have caught it. One of them stole it from another one. It's amazing. A poor man's Mahomes, says Booble in the chat.
Speaking of, ducks from yesteryear.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the quote? Oh, my goodness. I can't remember who it was from, but about Johnny Munt this week.
No.
The Munsters?
Randy.
Yeah. They said, it had to have been the coach. Was it Kevin O'Connell for the Vikings or something? I can't remember. He, with a straight face, got on the mic and said, Johnny Munt is the best third-string tight end in the NFL by far. And went on and started talking about it. I don't doubt it. Sure. I don't doubt it. I just thought it was a weird thing to gas up. I don't know.
Yeah, who are we to call him a liar?
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying what a bizarre thing to...
Yeah. To
not bizarre. Just, I never expected it.
And the fact that he felt the need to tell the media and then defend it. Like, nobody's arguing with you. Like, okay. Sure.
Do you guys remember the Johnny Munt game?
Didn't he have a big one against, like, Tennessee or something?
Yeah, because Clay Aerla was a late scratch due to legal issues. And while everyone's freaking out, Johnny Munt has, like, three touchdowns. And Colts on Twitter, saying Johnny Munt for Heisman. You know, so it was a good little day.
Yeah,
boy, Tennessee, you guys stunk.
Yeah, not good at football.
No,
either time Oregon played them. I mean, I guess the game at Tennessee was close, and then there was the lightning storm, and Oregon just sort of blew them away. But yeah, weird times, man. All right, should we talk about the Stanford and Cal and SMU situation? Because that was weird. I was like doing quote unquote.
We cap it at like 5 minutes.
Dude, I was doing quote unquote prep for this. And I'm like, why the fuck are SMU and Stanford being tied together? And then you click the link and read the fact that it's Condoleezza Rice and George W. Bush trying to put them together to the ACC. And I'm like, how and why? I get it. Like, I know, like, W and Condi are buddies or whatever. Condi. Like, me and Condi sitting on the ranch. Like, is that what was happening? They're just, like, having dinner. You know, Stanford's not in... Like, Stanford's in trouble. I feel like I should do something. And W's like, yeah, let me... SMU.
Let's get SMU to help out, right? Yeah, of all the schools that, yeah, you know, that show strength and, you know, commitment to a conference, SMU is who you go with to back it.
Let's booble in the chat. Should war criminals have a college football playoff vote?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we throw up the O for Obama at every game at Oxford. I mean, so, what I mean, am I right? Am I right?
The drone king, yeah.
I mean, didn't Obama just burnt down Maui? Isn't that what the talking points on?
People are saying. That is what people ask. We're just asking questions.
Yeah. Open your third eye, right?
He was burning all the evidence that he wasn't actually born there, right? Yeah.
That's what happened.
God, remember that? Oh, man.
Well, have you guys seen the newest Barack Obama online controversy?
No.
You guys are familiar with his brother, right? Malik?
No. Genuinely.
Okay, well.
I've never heard of this person.
I don't want to introduce you to him. You're better off for it.
Okay.
But he has said twice in the last week, he has confirmed that Barack, and he always does this thing where he capitalizes, Hussein Obama is gay. So we had a gay black president, apparently.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, good for them.
Very progressive country we are.
Yeah, very, very much so. Very much.
Checking all the boxes, man.
Yeah.
It's how we roll. United States of America leading the way. Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I don't really... So, I guess the fallout from last week is Oregon State's still really mad. Their fans are, especially. And Stanford and Cal are still trying to figure out how to not be tied to Oregon State and Washington State. Like, so what, because what we're hearing is Oregon State and Washington State are pretty much tied together. So whatever happens, they're going to do it together. Whether it be trying to rebuild the Pac-4 or the Pac-2, as it's probably going to end up, or go somewhere else, which nobody wants them. So they're not going to go somewhere else. And then Stanford and Cal are just still trying to figure out some place to go. It's like, I fully understand them wanting to go to the ACC, and I really think it would be a good move for the ACC, but it really just doesn't seem like anybody's interested in them right now, which is still pretty wild. But OSU fan is still really salty, and it's
I think they're getting saltier too.
It's
really coming up with
it's weird
new stories and angles of Oregon.
Well, I kind of think that OSU fan has the realization has hit them that if they cannot salvage whatever. Sorry. Emphysema. I apologize. COPD. If they cannot salvage, you know, whatever, which can they? I mean, are we being honest? Probably not.
Oh, we just lost your audio. Say something.
Did you? Hey. Oh,
I didn't. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. My bad.
Am I good?
Yeah, you're good. Sorry.
Okay.
Weird.
But if they drop down to like the group of five, you know, non-qualifier, I think they realize they can't afford Jonathan Smith. Like he will leave.
Yes.
And we can all do the loyalty play, but I don't know his salary right now. It's probably not great for a Pac-12 team. It'd probably be number one for a Mountain West team. He's good enough where he's not sticking around in that situation. Well, and I think
especially he's trending also right now.
Well, I think they're just now realizing that the trickle down from all that is like, oh crap. If we go from 30, what I think the Pac-12 teams got 37 million last year. I could be totally wrong. And like Boise State on the upper end got 9 million last year or 10 million from TV. that's a huge chasm. Like, I think they're just now finally realizing that it's they're not fucked. Just, oh, we're going to lose the rivalry game and tradition. It's that really could send them into an abyss. And I get why they're mad. I get it. I do.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, what do you want? At what point do you just get over it? Like, when USC and UCLA left the conference last year, I think we all kind of thought, oh, shit. Not that the Pac-12 would dissolve like this, like within a year, but it was trending towards it. And I just don't feel like, oh, USC and UCLA. You just kind of got to get used to it and get over it. I don't know. I think it's weird.
Yeah, and they just did the stadium remodel, and they just spent all this money, you know, building up the infrastructure, and now for them to suddenly not get any money anymore is, you know, I get it too, man. It's a huge blow, and I get, you know, being in that position and wanting to throw blame at everybody who left you in the dust, which Oregon left them in the dust. Oregon doesn't give a shit, and nor should they give a shit. Like, it's
everyone left him in the dust. Yeah, doesn't give a shit.
No, exactly. And
Stanford and Cal would leave him in the dust at a second.
That's the weird thing is, like, they are actively out there trying, even if these people they're actively going after don't want them at all. Like, it, you get the sense the ACC does not want them, but they're at least they're trying. They're making an effort. Like, I don't. So when everything went down, there was like one report that Oregon State like reached out to the Big 12 or something, wasn't it? And the Big 12 like didn't return their call. Like,
they're yeah,
like, thank you.
I thought they did and said like, you're calling us for what reason?
Yeah, thank you for the call, but no. Yeah, and so I mean, just keep your fucking feet to the ground, man. Go after it.
I can understand why they're extra salty right now too. Is I mean, this is probably the most hype team they've had since Erickson, maybe.
They're going to have a really good year, like football-wise, yeah.
After last year, you know, things were building. Coming into this year, you know, top 25 coming in. You know, people are picking them to win the Pac-12 this year. Some people are. It's like things were, like, starting to trend their way, finally, after, you know, years and years of being very mediocre. And then all of a sudden, like King said, oh, you're probably going to lose your coach here now.
Yep.
And at best, you're going to join the Mountain West or some weird hybrid new Pac-12 where you're going to make no money also.
Whatever recruits you were starting to get, you're no longer going to get.
The other big thing is you're going to lose is, recruits on top of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand being salty, but like I said, be pissed off for a day or two, a week. But yeah, it seems like it's like ramping up even more with more of these stories of I didn't see who came out with it. Was it Canzano that came out with the day of like the Ducks nicked some TV deal because UCLA was going to make more than them or some shit like that?
I think and that story that was from the LA Times. And I think
Wilner, was that who broke it?
No, Wilner said something kind of spinning off that. But like that story was from, I believe, Brady McCulloch from the LA Times. And it was basically George Hay, whatever his last name is, was trying to block UCLA's entrance. USC was gone. He knew it. Private school. He was trying to block UCLA's entrance. And in those talks, the interim school president of the U of O, I can't even remember his name. I should know his name, even though he was here for like 2 months, said, no, if UCLA comes back, we're not doing the unequal revenue sharing with them. And I don't know. I guess I don't think UCLA was saving the conference anyway, so whatever. So now the joke is that Oregon is making $30 million less for 4 or 5 years than UCLA.
There are so many instances in the last like 5 years of conference presidents, like school presidents, you know, saying no to deals that were offered to the conference. that they would, that like a couple weeks ago they would have, you know, given their left foot for. And like the we talked about it a bunch last week too, but like the amount of horrible decision making from the people in these leadership positions over and over again. You know, it's funny watching people throw, you know, Larry Scott and George K like under the bus. They're the motherfuckers who hired them and kept empowering them every step of the way, and supporting the decisions and the proposals they were saying no to every step of the way. And there's quotes all over the place from these people about, you know, now these deals aren't good for the Pac-12 and the brand and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, now the Pac-12 doesn't exist because you didn't take those easy, good deals that probably would have been good for you. So you have nobody to fucking blame but yourself. Nutian in the chat says, weird, the Big 12 is totally fine going after UCF, but OSU is too much. He says, I get it being a TV market, but Oregon State does have really good baseball, women's basketball, wrestling, and gymnastics programs, yeah, too.
Well, we have established that those mean nothing.
Olympic, yeah, but UCF is a goddamn commuter college. Like, yeah, if I was an Oregon State fan, I would be very, like, offended that I'm like, you're taking Houston and UCF? They're fucking commuter. And, you know, Houston's an enormous city. It's a little different than UCF. But that's a college. Like, it's Portland State with great weather. Like, no offense to Portland State, but it is, it's not that far-fetched of a difference. Yeah.
Well, here we are. Nothing's changed yet.
Well, and like, you know, we've beat the dead horse last week, but I think mentioning it one more time is okay. Is OSU fans can be bitter, but it's being so stoked online by the Oregon media. And I feel like Canzano is starting to walk it back, you know, on the Oregon and Washington hate. But you still got like Nick Daschle, who is their guy, just stoking the flames and just he's basically being online guy with a journalism degree, which is not that far off his brand, but he is being a little more aggressive. As if you're a Beaver fan and that's what you see, I totally get it. But I'm not seeing Cougar fan online being, you know, they're still doing fuck Washington, fuck Oregon. But they're a little more understanding. I don't know.
Yeah, I've barely seen any Washington State, like, real,
I haven't either,
hate. Initially, they really accepted it very quickly, unlike the Oregon State fans.
Yeah, they know who they are.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to try to get in the Mountain West. Let's do it. Let's try to, you know, run this conference.
Yeah, you know, Booble says that in the chat, too. He's like, the current Mountain West merging with the Pac-4 would be a better conference than the ACC.
There's Clemson out there.
Clemson and Florida State's trying to leave. Florida State's been garbage for a long time. So Clemson. Yeah, I mean,
Wake Forest here. Come
on. No, but it kind of goes back to conference pride is stupid. Outside of the SEC, you can poke holes in every single fucking conference, every single one of them. The only difference was that the Big Ten had Ohio State and now Michigan, and the ACC had Clemson. So they could talk shit because their best team was amazing.
Yeah.
The rest of it was kind of shit.
I mean, we were able to do that somewhat when SC was winning titles and being the dominant team for a good run. It was like, all right, here's why our conference is better than yours. But since SC fell off the fucking earth, it's been, yeah, haven't had that one team to really jump up nationally like
well,
that.
Well, but the crazy thing about the period you're talking about is there was like a 5-year run where Oregon and Washington, or Oregon and Stanford, were top 5 programs.
Oh,
and Oregon got credit. Oregon gets enough love on ESPN, and that's not really my point. There's got to be a contrarian like a Mark May. I understand how it works. But there were literal battles between Oregon and Washington, Oregon and Stanford, where it was like 3-5.
Yeah.
2-4.
Yeah.
And because it was Stanford
they're just kind of the least sexy team you could have.
Right. Like, there was a game, but I think it was Mariota's sophomore year. Oregon was second. I think Stanford was fourth. And granted, ESPN sold the hell out of it. They did an entire second game day from Palo Alto, but it was on a Thursday night at like 6 o'clock West Coast time. Like, it's kind of understandable how people kind of just didn't watch. And if I lived on the East Coast as a non Pac-12 guy, would I be tuning in for some of the stuff? Probably not, but whatever. I don't know.
Stanford's hard to watch, and we live out here, and they play big games against Oregon.
Stanford sucked to watch then. They weren't fun. Oregon was fun, and Stanford was
for the amount of NFL talent they churned out with all those years at teams too. It's amazing how just boring they were to watch.
How was a team with Christian McCaffrey boring to watch? Like, a college team with Christian McCaffrey boring.
As Joe Walker stuffed his ass.
A Stanford man. Jesus. Pretty classic, though. Nutian says, you see the stat that Stanford is basically tied with Georgia since the 2010s?
Oh, that I did.
That's funny.
I did. That's funny. I also saw someone, an SC fan, trying to do magic with stats and say that Oregon has been Rutgers in the 2000s. Okay.
Thank you, Mark Helfrich years.
How they tried to spin those numbers?
It was basically
Like the early 2000s, Oregon was dog shit. That was like the era where they won like four games a couple of times, right?
No. Early 2000s?
Yeah. What are you talking about? They went to the bowl against Wake Forest or something, or am I making that up?
They still won like seven games. I think you forget the 2 years before that, they won like 11 and 12.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't forget that. I'm just saying like they had a run where they had a couple of really bad years.
Yeah, if seven win seasons are your like...
And it was a shitty season. Don't get me wrong.
Please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to put down Oregon. They've been great over the last like 40 years.
I think Rutgers' biggest bowl win was, I guarantee you this is a thing, they won something called the International Bowl at when it was called Sky Dome in Toronto, and Ray Rice was their running back. I'm pretty sure that's their biggest bowl win in like 1,000 years.
Ski googling that.
I'm pretty sure it was called the International Bowl.
I just got called.
It was definitely in Toronto.
I just got called a Rutgers honk.
I mean, kind of sounded like it.
Let's see.
Yeah, which
there is not many bowls in their bowl game history here. It goes from 78 to 2005 was their next bowl.
What was that 2005 bowl?
Insight Bowl where they lost by 5 to ASU.
Oh yeah.
That's a home game for the Sun Devils.
Texas Bowl 06 beat Kansas State 37-10. International Bowl, Rutgers beat Ball State 52-30.
52?
Ball State played a bowl game in Toronto. How fucking hilarious is that?
PapaJohns.com Bowl against NC State.
No.
St. Pete's Bowl against UCF.
You got to go back to that last bowl and tell us if Ray Rice was the running back in that.
Oh, I'll get to that. Let's see. So they were just in the Hack Slayer Gator Bowl. That was 2021. They got 38-10. Before that, their bowl was the Quick Lane Bowl in 2014.
I think the 2021
North Carolina.
I think the only reason they played a bowl game in 2021 because they had a losing record and they filled in for someone because of COVID. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
That does sound right.
I'm pretty sure I remember Rutgers out of nowhere, like 4 days before the game, putting up like social media posts like, "We're bowl eligible, baby. We're back."
There you go. 7-5 Rutgers. Who was All State's head coach in 2008 for the International Bowl?
Urban Meyer.
Ooh, former Duck defensive coach? Brady Hoke.
Whoa, that's right.
I totally glossed over that era of Ball State Falcons football. I apologize. Yeah, that's my bad.
Ray Rice was the MVP of the International Bowl.
Hit those holes.
Yo, impeccable work by you. Nice job, kid. Yeah, that's amazing.
No, but I saw a similar
their quarterback.
Got to pull that back up. Come on. Get that history. Get that history, man. Come on.
Who's the Rutgers honk now, Braga?
Right? You're taking your trophy back.
In your face.
Ray Rice, who's that? You looking at us still?
No. 2008 yeah. Rutgers team. Mike Teal was there.
Oh, T-I-E-L?
Nope, this wasn't. Nope. That's the wrong. We want the 2007 Rutgers team.
Yeah, because they were in the bowl in 2008.
Right? Yeah.
Wait, it was after New Year's Day? They were in
it must have been.
They were in an after New Year's Day bowl?
Well, I mean, you know, it's international
now.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, time differences or something? I don't know.
No, it still was Mike Teal.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, Ray Rice.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah. Booble in the chat said, you know, fuck 90s baseball rosters. We need these random Rutgers rosters.
Rutgers.
Because we are the preeminent Rutgers podcast. So,
I mean, he did have 2,000 rushing yards and 24 rushing TDs.
Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was pretty good at Rutgers. That was sort of his thing.
Kenny Britt. Daquan Underwood.
Kenny Britt.
Good wide receivers.
It's a solid team.
I think Mohamed Sanu was on that team.
Please, I hope he was.
I think he was later. I think he was later.
Yeah, he was not. He was
Niners legend Mohamed Sanu. Speaking
of fantasy pickup wide receiver for about a decade. That's anytime right. You needed a guy, you pick up Mohamed Sanu for a week.
There's literally no other wide receivers to get.
Yep.
You get Mo Sanu. Speaking of my team real quick, if I might, Trey Lance is going to get cut. Like, did you guys see any of that preseason game against the Raiders at all? He's really bad.
He's real bad.
Yeah.
He's not good.
Okay. That's really all I have to say is he's going to get cut. Sam Darnold's going to make the roster ahead of him and some guy named Brandon Allen.
Is he from Arkansas? Someone look that up. I feel like he's an Arkansas quarterback.
Somebody Google that. Give me that.
I know he's not actually.
And so all of those picks they traded, all of those guys they didn't draft with that pick they traded for.
Yeah, is that going to be the worst trade ever in any sport? Possibly.
It very well could be. Yep. I mean, there have been some truly bad trades in
Brandon Allen,
is
Arkansas.
He? Dude, you're on fire today. Buy a lottery ticket, man.
What the hell?
Jeez.
2016. Jesus.
Jeez.
That's insane. I don't know why I knew that.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're a 49ers fan, don't look at the list of guys who got drafted after Trey Lance because it will depress you. It was like, you know, Jamar Chase, Parsons. The Niners could have kept their pick and drafted Parsons. Yeah. So imagine Parsons and Bosa on the same defensive line. That would be pretty good.
They wouldn't have money to keep.
You would not be able to re-sign both of them, but you'd have like a good 3 years with them and that'd be fun. Yeah, so that's it. I don't really, I mean, it's the preseason NFL, whatever.
Oh yeah, I know the Chiefs are dead. They lost.
Yeah. Oh, they're done.
They're losers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't lose a preseason game like that and expect to win a fucking Super Bowl.
They almost came back. I mean, they did come back. They just gave it up at the end, you know?
Yeah. Your
what
team,
are you going to do?
Your team just named their starting quarterback for the whole season, Ski.
They
excited?
Smart. Finally, they did a smart move after they, you know, fight with Jonathan Taylor where they claim he's, like, too hurt to play so they don't have to pay him. Now he wants out. Yeah. Good. Play him, lose every fucking game possible.
Do you really think he's going to be good after going through this season like that?
It's going to help him be better. I'll tell you that.
I don't think so, man. I think this is one of those seasons that like destroys a guy because he's just going to get beat up. He has no running game.
They still have a decent offensive line. So as long as he doesn't pull a fucking Trey Lance and try to run the ball too much,
yeah, just hold
he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
if you want to look up some fantasy league stuff, he's projected to have more points in week one than Aaron Rodgers.
And that's a fact, yeah. Jack. Fantasy. 17 to 17.5.
Yeah. Fantasy guy.
Facts only here.
Are you
fantasy guy?
Yeah. Are you gearing up? Are you gearing up for the fantasy minute or whatever it is?
Matthew Berry.
Yeah.
NBC Sports.
Dun, 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 dun. Wait, that's a different channel. Never mind.
Date Lars.
Is Indy tanking for Caleb Williams? You draft a first round quarterback and then tank to draft another first round quarterback. That is classic. That's classic loser NFL.
Two headed fucking monster they could have out there.
Two headed monster. Yeah, you're going to play both of them, man. It's like Mariota and Brian Bennett. Play both of them, you know?
When you have like 3 years of Jacoby Brissett, give me two top five picks. Quarterbacks back to back.
Literally anybody else. Literally anybody else. Yeah.
Bring back Philip Rivers, for God's sake. That's what they should have done.
Ay. Do you guys know why there's an NBA in season tournament?
Because the NBA regular season sucks.
I saw they set the schedule and there is a mid-season tournament. And I kept trying to find out why. Like,
do you want to know the real reason?
Sure.
Rewind back to March of 2020. There was this like pandemic thing. And I'm not sure if you noticed how sports have gone since then. They've expanded things like playoffs, conferences, so they've put little in-season playoffs, like the WNBA playing for the Commissioner's Cup. The MLS is playing for the leagues, which I think was before COVID.
That's what Messi's about to win, by the way. Like
it's just bare naked greed. It's all it is.
His team, Miami, was like the worst team in MLS, and then he shows up and they're going to win like that Champions Cup or whatever they call it.
I think it's called the Leagues Cup.
Leagues Cup. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they're playing someone called like FC Sporting Cincinnati.
KC,
which is
right?
It's Cincinnati.
Wow.
Which is so amazing. Real FC Sporting Cincinnati. Just peak American bullshit. Like,
how can we sound like a European soccer team?
Yeah. Yes. Just add a Real. Yep. The FC one doesn't actually get me that much.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. The Real and Inter thing just cracks me up.
I think
the FC should, because the FC stands for football club. They're soccer.
No, I like football club because SC is like sporting club. And sporting club is like one of the most pretentious things in sports. Calling yourself SC,
can we really call the MLS a football league? I mean, they play very mediocre soccer.
Not in a small town. Not in a small town.
Oliver Anthony's all up your ass or whatever that guy's name is.
No, but like, so my point about the in-season tournament thing is like, will it make more money? Like
but what I don't get about it,
why is it a big draw? Because like there's no, you don't get anything. You get like a trophy.
Money.
You get
money.
The teams get money.
I assume players will get paid out for winning it. And
I think the winning team, each player gets, I think the winning team gets $200,000 a player. I don't remember what second place gets, and third and fourth, each player gets $50,000. Is that an incentive for a lot of NBA players? Probably not.
No, but I get it. Like, it's more money for them. That they're going to play the games anyways, though. So
they're going to take the games off in the regular season and play this.
So will they? Why? Why? $200,000. These are
$200,000.
Come on.
Some players do.
Anthony Davis is stressing over $200,000. Oh. We better win this game so I can get to Las Vegas and hopefully get $200,000 more, because I can't afford to fly to Las Vegas. Come on, it's dumb.
They are still meaningless middle of the season NBA games. So what would make me watch that? It's a dumb middle of the season tournament that doesn't matter. Like, I don't care.
The thing I don't actually get about it
Make me care, please, NBA.
Is that, if I'm correct on that, I could be wrong. But so, like, the MLS is doing the League's Cup, and it's like a whole interruption from the regular season. It's just MLS versus, what is it, the Mexican League or whatever. But it's continuous. It's just like a month of League's Cup.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the NBA is just intertwining. We're on a Tuesday in Milwaukee. It's a midseason tournament game. And then the next day, the Bucks will play the Pacers in the same arena, and it's a regular season game. Like, that's the thing I don't get, is it's intertwined.
I thought the tournament will be separate, but it's like the European soccer, where, like, one game just kind of counts towards this.
Are they doing
midseason tournament?
Are they doing aggregate scores for this? Is that what you're saying?
They probably will do aggregate as well when the tournament, like the final four teams in the tournament, ends aggregate.
The Bulls lead the Pacers on aggregate 324-291.
That'll go over very well with the American sporting.
Fantastic. You know? Yeah. I just think it's dumb, man. I'm really trying to find a reason to find it interesting, and I can't. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the players won't even find it interesting.
It's a dumb gimmick, yeah. Like,
do they say where this is getting held? Is it like in Vegas for?
No, it's just the final four go to Vegas.
Yeah,
everything it is else, Vegas, though, right? Yeah, it is Vegas, so they.
Yes, but everything else is just at their home arenas. That's why I don't understand what we're doing here.
Yes,
like I said, they just intertwine. Like I said, it's just I think it still counts as a regular season game. It just has the extra connotation of.
But
like,
see, here's where that's dumb. So let's say Chris Middleton. Let's just pick a random player. Let's say he scores 101 points in this midseason tournament, you know, in a game, right? Breaks the record, right? So you're saying that counts as a regular season game? Is that what you're saying? Like in the record books?
Ooh.
Because the play-in games do not count. Like, they do not exist. Like, LeBron could have scored 100, or Karl Anthony Towns could have gone to Crypto.com in April in the play-in against the Lakers, scored 101 points, does not matter. It does not count.
Well, if they count, if they're counting playoff games, I think they're going to treat this like it's a playoff series. You know, it's a mini playoff in the middle of the season. I think it will count towards stats and records and things like that.
Yeah, be curious. I think it's dumb either way. But
no one said it wasn't dumb. Yeah. The reason was
I think you said it wasn't dumb. Hey, producer, rewind the tape. Dumb, right?
Yeah, you remember what he said.
Yeah, yeah. At 41:37, you said it wasn't dumb, right?
I said I think it's dumb. I think
argue with Lee, man. Argue with Lee. It ain't me. I'm not the one.
With Lee.
You can hear the feedback too.
It's the producer in your earpiece, man. No, I got it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They told me, go fuck yourself.
That hasn't been confirmed. Don't listen to Ski Listener. That hasn't been confirmed. Yeah, no. I need another source. Should we get to our list? You guys got anything else? I guess we should give a RIP to Herman Ho Ching.
Oh, you know what? Yes. Yeah. And when I read the story about it, it made me even more sad, where he wasn't intoxicated. He had jumped off this little cement sculpture like 5 or 6 times. And it just, the last time, he just never resurfaced.
Yeah.
And even like the fire department said, the water's not cold and the current was very mild. It's a sad reminder of, I don't want to get too deep and existential here, but like, when it's your time to go, you just kind of go. Like, there was nothing traumatic, nothing you point to. They're like, maybe it was just shock, even though he had jumped into it 4 times before. Just sad. And period. The fact that, that he's, you know, reportedly very clearly put his life, you know, together, which is a weird thing to say because we don't know anything he's done the last 20 years. But the last thing we knew was that kind of dysfunctional. It was a different time. Oh my gosh, he smoked marijuana. They kicked him off the team.
Well, you brought up from like an old tweet of yours of him shaving points potentially. I don't remember that story.
And Mike Bellotti has come out this week and said that there was an FBI investigation. Like, there were people were trying to kill him when he was a student at the U of O. The FBI informed the university that there was a hit out on Herman Ho Ching, which makes the point shaving allegations maybe a little more clear.
A little bit. Yep.
Maybe.
Wow. Wow. Wild. Well, I think it's hard to argue that he had like one of the wildest, you know, couple game runs as an Oregon football player that anybody ever had here. So it was.
I will say that I don't remember him playing a second year. I looked up his stats. He played 7 games both years. I literally do not remember. I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we floated the idea of asking him to be on this podcast with us.
And Kurt almost made it happen, I think.
Kurt almost made it happen. He offered, and then to be completely honest, I think we sort of chickened out. And so it just never happened, but it would have been.
Well, that was the early iteration of our podcast where we actually like talked to people, like real people.
Yeah, where we actually brought people on and interviewed them. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
How we got them in the first place is a fucking.
I think Alex just asked.
I did. I sent the questions from my work email, which was a radio station.
There you go.
And so, so they're like, "Oh yeah, what's a podcast? Okay, sure, whatever." You work for a radio station?
The what's a podcast era was great.
Yes. We took advantage of that so much. Good times, man. All right, let's do our list. What is our list?
All right. With the passing of Johnny Hardwick, who did the voice of Dale on King of the Hill.
Yeah.
We are doing our top three rednecks on TV.
Top three rednecks on TV. And it was hard to keep it to TV, too, because there's been a lot of really good ones in movies, too. So lots of honorable mentions. Who wants to start? So I got a question. I'll start. My number three, does this count? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I thought so, too.
Texas Rattlesnake, man. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Drinking beers, riding fucking ATVs.
Cracking Coors Lights. Yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin's my number three.
I guess I'll go my number three. I'll just keep it in the King of the Hill verse and say Boomhauer is about as redneck as you get. Yeah.
My number three.
Yes, sir.
I didn't come up with the number three.
Okay. No number three.
I tried.
It's okay. No, it happened.
I was like, it might be a little redundant.
Booble just dropped a Dale Gribble. R.I.P.
See that's number. Yeah.
Okay, my number two is Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel from The Simpsons. You guys remember him?
Now, is there a difference between a redneck and a yokel?
Yeah, I mean, there's hicks, there's rednecks, there's yokels, and yeah, I think they're all the same thing, man. I think that counts, right? Most folk will never eat a skunk, but then again, some folk will like Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel. That was the era where The Simpsons was funny, man. They had like Conan as a writer and good shit.
I do love how a footnote to Conan's like career is writer for The Simpsons.
Writer for The Simpsons, writer for Saturday Night Live.
Not a bad cliff note. Not a bad cliff note.
Right? I know. Number three from WCP is Swamp People. I don't know who Swamp People is.
Oh, it was a reality show where they're catching gators.
Oh, is that it? Okay, gotcha.
Love the bald guy. Shoot him! Shoot him! Shoot the gator! Shoot the gator! We know exactly. I love that guy.
Shoot him!
Yeah. Shoot him!
I haven't seen that one.
All right. My number two is all of them, and that is the Squidbillies.
Yeah. Oh. Get some tram.
Get some tram. I forgot about the Squidbillies. Damn, that would have been one of my number threes. Rusty on the Squidbillies is my number three.
There you go. Yeah, we could do that.
All right. My number two, Ruth Langmore from Ozark.
That's my number one. Nice. Ruth.
Fuck you, Marty Bird.
Marty Bird.
Marty Bird.
Man, she is so good. Like, I, by the way, like we talked about this, I just started watching the whole series like recently, and I'm like halfway through season one. She is so good, man. I know I don't know shit about the series or anything at this point, but man, great character, great actor playing the character. Like, she's fantastic. Let's see. Number two for Booble is Honey Boo Boo. Number two for WCP is Duck Dynasty. I hate your guys' lists. I hate those people. I hate those people. I don't. I wish I didn't have to say them.
Shoot them.
Shoot. Shoot the gator. It's a rolling. Shoot the gator. It's a rolling.
The best.
Toot.
I wish you knew that show. Oh my god.
Yeah, how do you need to go watch an episode just for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We are on Twitch. I could just like pull up YouTube right now and technically get
it. Well,
away.
I mean, like the like jaded person could have always been like, Duck Dynasty feels a little fake. But Swamp People was absolutely organic as hell.
The real thing. All right. I'm gonna
A big fat guy with like a ponytail who rocked the overalls with no shirt on underneath and a dog on the boat with him.
Oh, yeah. Gotta have the dog. Oh, I love the dog on the boat.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. All right. That was a TV show. Okay.
For maybe a dozen seasons as well.
Yeah, I believe it. Let's see. Where were we? Was I at my? You guys had done your twos?
Your one.
My one. Okay.
Yeah.
My one is, and this goes to your question. It's Wayne from Letterkenny. So a hick is a redneck.
It's a hick.
And they
see. I did think about going Letterkenny, but I was like, I thought someone would be pedantic about this and be like,
no,
you're a hick, not a redneck. They're,
nope. Yeah. Nope. Wayne from Letterkenny. Love it.
Yeah, that works.
All right, what you got?
All right, my one was Ruth.
Okay.
My number one, propane connoisseur.
Yeah.
Hank Hill.
Amen.
Peggy.
Yeah. God damn it,
Peggy.
Damn it, Bobby.
God damn it, Peggy. That boy ain't right.
Also, Mr. Anderson from Beavis and Butthead. Same person. Same voice.
Exact same person.
Yep. Ain't you them boys been whacking off in my tool shed?
Whacking off.
Well, that boy ain't right. Let's see. Number one from WCP is Honey Boo Boo. Number one from Booble is Trailer Park Boys.
They're Canadian. They almost don't count.
That counts. I mean, if Wayne counts, they count. Honorable mention from Booble is Walker, Texas Ranger. Yeah. Propane and propane accessories.
I mean, you could just, the Jeff Foxworthy show. I know. Built in the title there.
See,
if you have ever.
Dude made like $100 million off that shtick.
Respect the hustle, man. Respect the hustle.
But yes.
And what's funny about all those like redneck comedians, Foxworthy was the least funny, right?
Oh
yeah.
What's his name?
Bill Engvall.
No, the other
Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah,
I think he's the least talented.
Fair enough. He's probably the least redneck out of all of them. Like Larry the Cable Guy is not a redneck at all in real life, which is hilarious to me. Was Ron White part of that crew too?
He was.
Yeah.
Ron White's legitimately funny, right?
Yes.
Used to be, at least.
He used to be, yeah.
He turned into like the rich redneck too, which kind of.
That's what he played into, yeah, yeah. And he was just hammered every time he was on stage.
Yes, he was.
It was unhealthy. he could not sustain that. I've heard him like talk about that because he doesn't do that anymore. But it's like, man, that he had a really crazy run there for a while. Not sustainable for a human body. Booble says Engvall was the least funny. He's probably right, right? Because the get her done thing was really popular, man. And it got old really quick, but it was funny for like a while, I think. I don't know.
I mean, he parlayed that into like one of the biggest Pixar franchises there is, too. So
yep.
Good on him for that.
Tomater. Yep. All right, that's it. No, you guys got anything else?
No, but I will say, for Foxworthy, I guess it's funny if you are fine with that just repetitive, they're like, call you a redneck shit over and over again. Yeah. That's all I got.
I guess I just feel like he mailed it in. He's like, who's the guy that the ventriloquist guy now?
Oh, Jeff Dunham. God.
Jeff Dunham. God. Yeah. Jeff Dunham is worse. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like Foxworth realized at certain points, like, I don't even have to try. Trot this out, be formulaic. I will make millions and millions and tens of millions a year. Yep. I think he could have been better, is what I'm saying. Deep down, I think there's someone funnier than what he got rich off of.
Now, there's the battle. Jeff Dunham versus Foxworthy.
What's no, funny? Dunham is the worst by far. Get the fuck out of here.
I've literally never seen him say a funny thing, Dunham. Never.
He got famous for a like racist doll, and that's what propelled him. And then, I guess...
What a shtick, man. You get to like be racist, but you put it on a doll, and so people don't call you racist. Like, man, he got away with it for a long. He's still getting away with it. Crazy.
He was in Madison arenas a couple months ago.
Yeah, he's still doing it, man. He's selling out arenas. Insane.
Arena touring still crazy.
He is.
Crazy.
He has not had to do the Vegas thing yet, which is crazy too. He's made for Vegas, man.
Oh yeah.
Like I said, I'm so mad Carrot Top took the 4th of July extended weekend off in Vegas. I was so going to see him just for the sad Carrot Top.
Just for the story. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, jacked Carrot Top now.
He is jacked. There is no getting around that.
Yep.
Is he like a right-wing pundit now too? Like, is that his, is that like, I don't know if that's like his shtick now with his props.
No, I think I could be completely, because I've heard him on a few podcasts here and there the last couple of years. I think he's pretty apolitical. I could be wildly wrong.
He doesn't want to lose his gig, man, and I don't blame him. Booble says that he rocks, and he has seen him twice, and it is a great show. Carrot Top.
I was gonna see him. I had to go settle on Blue Man Group, you know.
Ugh, how was that, by the way?
I don't like interactive shows, so that part was weird to me. But in the background, they had like four musicians on this high rise that could be seen intermittently depending on the lights and stuff. And they looked like the Tom Hanks character on Saturday Night Live like 5 years ago. Where he was like, ooh, Jack, it's not Jack Skellington. I can't remember what he said, but
David Pumpkins.
Yeah.
David S. Pumpkins. And that's kind of what that was their vibe. And it was, that part was fun. But interactive shows, it's like, oh, please don't. Stop throwing paint
just
at me.
Just do the show, please. Just do the
Throw
show.
Throw it at them.
Yeah, I'm going there Labor Day weekend with my girlfriend. Well, and we're
go
gonna...
see Carrot Top or. I saw Penn and Teller. See one of those.
Was Penn and Teller good? I bet they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magic.
Of course. I mean, I feel like Cirque du Soleil, you can't really lose with those two. So probably do that. We'll see. It's a discussion.
If you go to Vegas, you have to just go and see some of those shows.
Yeah, like, yeah. I kind of think that too. Like just one. It's
the Vegas thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes, go watch a Thunder from Down Under.
Thunder from I think I got a free voucher to like something called Illusions.
Yeah,
I can't remember, but it was like
a free voucher. I remember those, like walking down the street in Vegas.
Thunder and Down Under, and it was
those people with the flyers just like hitting them so you can see them, and they're handing you these piece of papers to porn shows, basically.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's sure
Vegas,
done.
Vegas, baby. All right, that's it. Anything else?
I did a drawing while we were podcasting.
I'd love to see that drawing.
My favorite Big 12 team. Go Sun Devils.
Go Devils. Did you really just draw that? Because I saw you working on something the whole time.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
That's
right next to a dinner list. Go Devils.
Hold it up closer. That's great. Credit where it's due. Nice. All right. Well, movie on Sunday is, again, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It is the continuation of Dog Days of Summer Month. That is a day. And so it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is on Netflix.
Oh, I missed that.
Get it? Point. You get it?
I do all get right. it now. I do.
We're really fucking clever. You guys should listen to us. Okay, watch the movie, listen to us talk about it on Sunday. That's it. Thanks for watching and listening. Goodbye.